curiosity of the person who has watched Discovery Channel is way more as compared to the people who have grown up watching Cartoon Network. If we take the same research and put it on the people who are watching these daily soap operas and movies, the stigma of the people who have not watched these daily soap operas and movies is actually lesser than the people who have watched it more.
Hello and welcome to the Filter Coffee Podcast. My guest today is, and I'll know the exact answer in a bit, but safe to assume that he's the youngest guest I've ever had on the show. He is a developer, he's a coder, he's an entrepreneur, and he's the head of a company called My Child App, which is also an app that tens of thousands of parents have benefited from. We'll talk about the app and what it does shortly. But there's another way of introducing Harsh Songra. He is undoubtedly one of the most inspiring people I've met. Welcome to the Filter Coffee Podcast, Harsh.
Thank you. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction, actually.
I was being extremely factual. Harsh, firstly, how old are you?
I'm 23 right now.
You're 23. Okay.
Am I the youngest?
I think so. Yeah. Though Amit Verma might debate that.
Okay.
You are. Harsh, you were born with a condition called dyspraxia. Is that, am I pronouncing this correct?
Yes.
Right, which limits your movements, your coordination,
yes.
And your speed to, yes, a certain level, right? Do you remember much of growing up with dyspraxia?
So, dyspraxia is something that usually starts showing symptoms at a pretty early age, like at around 6 or 7 months of age. And then you start, the appearance suddenly starts to experience that it is happening when the child actually has to walk, but he's not able to walk, right? So I don't remember a lot, but I remember these things that I used to see other kids of my same age walk properly, and I was not able to walk till age of 4 or 5 properly.
Right.
I remember this one thing that when I was not able to walk, my parents covered the whole house with mattresses so that I could go around and fall and whatever, and I will not get hurt. But they were like, just try.
Right.
So that's fun. But a lot of situations happen with me that make me remember what it was going up with dyspraxia. So, for example, when I was joining the school had stairs.
You grew up in Bhopal, right?
Yeah. Other children were able to walk up the stairs properly. I was not. Other children were able to get in the bus properly. For me, the conductor had to pick me up, give it in my mother's hands, and then my mother used to pick me up and take me back to my house. So these are the things that I remember that I have some memories of, but it was tough later on in life as well.
This must have obviously been very puzzling, very strange for you as you became older,
yeah,
and all of that. Well, what are some of the fonder memories at that point for you?
The fondest memory for me would be when my parents realized that, okay, he cannot write properly, let it be, let him not complete his exams. Like, that was the best memory for me. They were okay with the fact that, hey, cool, you cannot complete your exams. Here's a computer, do whatever you want with it.
Mm.
And this was also because of the fact that my dad, when I was born, he has been with computers since long enough to understand the potential of what it can be in the future. So he introduced me to computers at a very early age. I saw my first computer at around 4 or 5 years of age and started playing games at the age of 6 or 7. So I was playing Road Rash and trying to kill the cop while other kids were trying to play cricket outside my house. So,
right.
I mean, that was a fond memory, of course.
But was dad a very very tech-savvy person? He is an entrepreneur, right?
Yes. My dad has been tech-savvy since a very long time. So he has told me stories that my granddad used to gift him a radio, and instead of listening to it, he used to actually open it and was not able to close it. So my granddad used to, get angry at him.
Right.
So there are stories about that. And my dad also introduced me to the world of codes and hacks and internet. So when I used to play games, I used to be, by the books, ki you have to click like this, you have to press this button, and this is how it will happen. Once I was playing a game called Age of Empires.
Right, I love Age of Empires.
Yes, and my dad was like, just press enter and type, how do you turn this on? I was like, kya hoga? A car came, the car was throwing stones. I was like, can I just copy and paste and do it? He was like, yeah. I got like 100 cars and my army was way bigger than the other people who were coming. So that world that, you can make a computer do whatever you want while having a life in which you're struggling to do things that you want, like walking to the park. It was a way different and way amazing world for me. So that, maybe that's why my dad was also like, okay, be more interested in computers.
I remember seeing this documentary that Google did on you as part of the Google Developers Program. And I think at one point you mentioned in this place that outside you had a, you were on a bit of a back foot in more ways than one. But this computer that your dad got sort of changed it, because inside the room you were pretty much king.
Yeah.
The computer could do whatever you wanted it to.
Yeah.
Right. When did you move on from a gamer and someone who consumed content on the internet to a creator as a coder? What sparked that?
So before consuming content on the internet a lot, because when I got access to the internet, it was more about reading old forums like Java ka forum ho gaya or game ka forum ho gaya than about, actually reading Tumblr or Blogspot. I'm talking before that, like 2003, 2004. The first time my dad taught me that, hey, this is a black screen. You have to write 6 lines over there and something will happen. And it was a small program. When I clicked run, the computer said, hello world. And that experience was, okay, how am I able to make it do exactly what I want?
Right.
That experience changed my whole perspective towards how I can use computers in doing anything in life, right? So I used to be like going on forums, reading about Java, how to code in Java, how to code in C++, how to code in any other language. And that just changed my life, understanding ki, okay, I can do this because of this, X will happen, Y will happen.
So while all of this was happening,
I
think your parents are also parallelly trying to figure out what it is that you're suffering from.
Yes.
And it did take them some time. Yeah. How long did it take them?
So it took them around 9 years. I started showing the main symptoms at the age of 2. They went to doctor, pediatricians, they went to neurologists, they went to Babas of India. They went to Ayurvedic and homeopathic specialists. By the way, homeopathy is placebo. But anyway. But then they went to a psychologist. And even after being from a family that was well-to-do, a family that was modern enough to understand the needs that I have, they were still stigmatized about going to a psychologist until, unless they went to one. And that took them around 9 years.
Right. And Bhopal probably was also not blessed with the kind of facilities you'll probably get in like in a Delhi and Chennai. Was that one of the factors for you?
Yeah, of course. Like finding a psychologist. Is the psychologist good enough? Are they really going to understand? Are they really going to empathize with what the parents are feeling? These were also the factors that.
Or even accepting the fact as a parent that I'm now having to go to a psychologist.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That was also a factor for them, of course.
I'm going to cut to a few years and then we will go back to your growing up years shortly.
Yes.
It is these 9 years that they took, which also became the core of the problem that you will solve as an entrepreneur. right? What was the driver for that? What did you think you missed out in these 9 years? Or what do you know you missed out in these 9 years?
I'll say that I'm super glad that I was able to be a lot with computers.
Mm.
At the same time, I wanted to have a life where others will not make too much fun of me just because they cannot understand what's going on with my body or with my mind. Okay? At the age of 11, 12, somewhere in the middle, when my parents took me to a psychologist, the psychologist did not just give them the diagnosis of for dyspraxia, but they also give them a diagnosis for general anxiety disorder. And not just any anxiety that will be resolved with therapy or medication, chronic anxiety that will last me throughout my life. And I developed that anxiety because people made fun of me, because people never understood what I was going through, because my teachers, instead of, you know, helping me or comforting me that it's okay, it's fine, you can complete your exam in a different format, they just were like, aapke bacche se kuch nahi hoga, when my parents asked them what's wrong. So the driving factor for me for building my child app was, this should not happen with others. When I was building my child app, the objective in my brain was not to make an app, was to solve the stigma problem that is there. To solve that it's okay to have a disability, because I'm not the only one. One out of six children are having one or the other disability. Count six children, the seventh children will have a disability or a developmental delay. One out of three people have mental illnesses. Including the producers, there are five people in this room. At least two of us has mental illnesses, one including me. If the numbers say that this is so common, I was always failing to understand why is there so much stigma. And I thought making something like this will be the first step to solve that. That's why I came up with the idea of my child app.
And the psychologist that you mentioned, he's had a huge impact.
Yeah.
On both your and your parents' life.
Right?
Yes. I come from a family which has special children. And I know that the path to discovery is the most difficult one, right?
Yep.
Because that is when you don't know the answers. You're always two steps behind. And you're always wanting to meet this expert, you know, who's ahead of you, who knows exactly what is going on, right?
Correct.
What is the impact that he had on your life?
The biggest impact that the psychologist had in my life was helping my parents understand that everything is all right. See, as a parent, I have not been a parent yet. I'm 23. But as a parent, I can understand that what my mom and dad would have felt all the time, ki kya ho raha hai, iska solution kya hai, kaise theek kare.
Correct.
And having someone tell them that it's okay, it's fine, this is how the flow would be, this is what the therapy he needs, this is how he needs. So I took therapy from the age of 11 to 15. I took therapies for my muscles. I took therapies for my hands and my legs and everything. I wore special shoes for like 2 to 3 years. And when my parents got to know like the direction that they need to take, they got much more, you know, free and understanding. Okay, everything is fine. I just need to do this. And it also happens when you run a company, right? You try to figure out all the avenues from which you will figure out the product market fit. But when you figure out the product market fit, the psychologists were like a product market fit for my family. That you have figured it out. Now just go ahead and execute it.
You use way too much jargon for a college dropout. but that's so beautifully put. So the reason I was asking you, you know, about him is, you know, in the film, again, I go back to the film that Google had made. You also, when you realized that, you know, you lost out on time, you're a fine looking, handsome, funny, brilliant, and soon to be very rich entrepreneur. And but you did lose out on some time, and you could have gotten here much, much faster, right? And that is the core of the problem you're trying to solve. And at some point, you know, when you're trying to understand coding, you're trying to understand Android and all of these, you also set out on this journey of figuring out an algorithm for this solution, right? I'm assuming he was one of the many other people you also consulted with it, where you put down on paper, how can this be spotted earlier? How can you save on time? Right? What prompted you to that journey besides just the obvious emotional, you know, inputs?
So I used to read a lot, I still do. And after I got diagnosed, after I took all the therapies, I started reading about the disorder that I have. And while reading about it, then I went on why this happens. Then I went on why it gets diagnosed late. And I figured out a set of steps that could be taken for the diagnosis to happen early, because of which the effect of the disorder can be delayed in a child, because he has been diagnosed at the age of 5 or 6 or 7 years of age.
Or early intervention.
Yes, yes. Because of which he can have a much better life. Okay. So what I did was, because I had access to the internet as well, I downloaded everything from WHO to WebMD to everything that I can get my hands on. I knew few doctors who used to work with Indian Medical Association. I knew few of the bigger developmental pediatrician. This is a different kind of pediatrician. Normal pediatrician usually does not figure out developmental disorders. Developmental pediatricians does. So I figured out a developmental pediatrician, only one in my city, by the way, who can help in situations like this. And instead of going to them and asking them ki kya karna chahiye, I read everything, I made some points and went to them and said, ye sahi hai, ye galat hai, ye sahi hai, ye galat hai. By having that clarity beforehand and by having that understanding, I was able to devise 10 to 15 questions based on the age of the child that a parent requires to answer to figure out whether the child have one problem or not. When I figured out that particular set of questions, then I went again back to them to understand what kind of weightages are required to, you know, figure out what's the main problem. Is age a factor? Is a weight a factor? Is eating habit a factor for some or the other? And then instead of my app telling the parent that, hey, your child has a dyspraxia or some other disorder, I just made the app smart enough to tell the parent that, hey, your child has a delay in physical development. Go to a physiotherapist instead of going to a pediatrician, because they will be able to help you better. Or go to a neurologist because your child has a delay in neurological development. So this is what I did over the period of 2 years, because there was one day when I coded for 48 hours straight when I was making the main algorithm. But it took 2 years because I was studying at the same time. I was in school. I was trying to, give my accounts ke exam and business studies ke exam.
This thing that you very simply put, saying, you know, go to a neurologist, go to a psychologist, this is in reality could save a parent a year or even 5, right? Because they're so invested otherwise in a direction which they believe for no rational reason is the correct one, isn't it?
Also, one more thing that is wrong with medical science somehow is that a doctor tries to retain a patient as much as they can.
Right.
So my pediatrician told my parents ki, oh, he is not developing the muscles properly, isse calcium sandals khila do. And calcium ki goli se theek ho jayega. इसे ये टॉनिक पिला दो, ये टॉनिक से सही हो जाएगा. He never told my parents that, hey, you should take your child to a physiotherapist. Hey, you should take your child to a neurologist. The reason why I feel he did that, maybe I'm wrong, was because if he would have told them कि तुम्हें physiotherapist के पास जाना है, तो my parents would have gone more to them rather than the doctor.
You would have lost a customer.
Yeah. And this is maybe what's wrong with the healthcare industry.
What's wrong with the healthcare industry is a brilliant place for us to take a very short break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about your swashbuckling entrepreneurial career.
Sure.
Stay with us. Welcome back to the Filter Coffee podcast. We're speaking to the extraordinary Harsh Songra. And, you know, just before we move to your company, Harsh, I want to speak about Tare Zameen Par. You have this strange relationship with Bollywood, which we'll go into shortly. But that film, I'm assuming, played a reasonably important role in your life.
Yes. So, us zamane mein, there used to be a lot of CD players and all. Like, there was no Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Dude, I come from the VHS era. So
yeah.
You're privileged.
I am. My parents have this habit that they will take out time for themselves and they will go out and be like, you are just a kid, just do your job. So they will go out to watch a movie or they will go out on a dinner date. And it's important for, I guess, every couple, not just my parents. When they have a child, they should take out time for themselves. They went to watch that movie themselves. And my mother was so inspired by it that while coming back from the movie, from the cinema hall, she got the CD so that I could watch it in my house the same time.
Wow.
Yes. So, of course, it played an important role because it not only told about the journey of a particular child who is having an issue, but it also told about the journey of a parent who has to go through XYZ things because the child has an issue. It also told how important it is to have a better relationship for that child with one of the teachers in the school to understand, theek, at least there's one person who understands me ko kya hai and how can I get it fixed. For me, it was my computer teacher. So it actually helped me broaden the perspective of who to focus on more, like what are the things to focus on more.
What did he or she do to help?
They used to let me sit in the computer lab during periods, and whenever teachers used to say that why is he not attending the class, they would be just be like, you know, he's doing some job for me.
Right.
That was enough for me to, you know, code things. Like I used to help them code the attendance register and some calculator and all that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to quickly, before I go into the company,
yeah.
You dropped out of college.
Yes.
And even before that, you actually picked commerce,
yeah,
which was not really your first choice.
Yeah.
Why? Tell me more about that.
So when I was in school, as I told you, my parents figured out that it's illegal to nahi banega, give him a computer, right? That was a true fact. I was not able to write properly. And because I was not able to write properly, I was not able to complete my exams. I knew what I have to write in the paper, but I didn't have enough ability at that point to complete the whole exam and, you know, get marks out of 100. So I used to complete the paper for 50 marks. I used to get 40 marks.
Right. So it's not a question of skill. It was a question of speed.
Yeah, it was a question of speed. The problem was, if you don't get X or Y percentage, you don't get to choose PCM. Because I don't know why PCM is seen as an elite subject which only a certain set of people with X percentage of marks can get. I mean, it's just a...
Can you expand PCM for me?
Physics, chemistry, commerce. Right. Physics, chemistry, maths. That leads you to become an engineer.
Right.
I don't understand if... By the way, India has 90% of engineers who are not employable.
Yeah.
And still, you need to have 80% marks or something to get that subject. That's stupid in the education system. Anyway, coming back, because of that, I took commerce.
I want to halt you there for one second.
Yeah.
A lot of children, you know, who have various disabilities,
yeah,
are able to solve for this with a scribe. Did you ever, yeah, consider that?
I did. My parents also thought about it. But one thing that my parents wanted me to develop was self-dependency. See, when you have a disability or when you have a mental illness, you tend to depend a lot on others. If I would have gotten a writer back then, I would have depended on something else today.
Yeah,
I still depend a lot on others. I'm not denying that. My close friends will let you know about it. but still it reduced the amount of dependency that I look for as compared to what I used to look for.
So that's a call they had made.
Yes.
Because the intention at that point was more dependency than than the exam
at
itself.
At that time, by the way, they diagnosed what I was going through.
Mm.
They knew they were not stigmatized anymore.
Right.
Still, they took the call, not because of any other thing, but just because they wanted me to be less dependent.
Mm. And eventually, you take commerce, and at some point, you figure that it's not worth your time.
I took commerce. I got, by the way, 80% in 12th. So from 40% to 80% is a good jump. After I got into, a lot of good colleges in India and outside. But still, I asked my dad, see, at the end of the day, I just want to do coding and things on my own. If I'll go to a college which is outside the city, I will waste your money because I will not attend the classes. I will just be in my room doing my thing. So I'll just join some college near the house. I'll go to that college regularly, but I will focus more on building what I want to build. He was like, fine. In the second year of college, I was able to raise $100,000 from 500 startups,
right,
which is one of the biggest VC funds in the world. I told my dad, see, now I can pay for my own self. He was like, cool, what do you want to do? I'm like, we had a deal. So he's like, okay, fine, you can go ahead and drop out. This was the conversation. There was no fighting, there was no to and fro, there was no ki main tereko ghar se nikal dunga. Nothing happened like that. It was just like, hey, do you want to do this? I'm like, yes, I would love to. Okay, go ahead.
Amazing. So the company itself, so you figure that this has to be an app. Of course, Android is like your home ground.
Yeah.
And you build this app. And you also decide to follow a lot of entrepreneurs who you think would help you in this journey.
Yeah.
And you're figuring all of this out yourself at this point. Right? I mean, when you started off, it was only you as a founder.
Yeah.
And some of these entrepreneurs eventually became investors in your company, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about that journey.
So,
who are these people? Who did you choose to follow?
So, I learned coding from a person called Neeraj in Bhopal, who used to work in a company called India Games. Now,
right,
when he used to work in India Games, he used to tell me a lot about, you know, the person that who used to lead that company, that is Samir Vangara. So I got to know
Samir Vangara, who's the founder of Kyuki.
Yeah. So I got to know about Samir through Neeraj. And then there was a conference that was, I guess, the coalition that used to happen in Delhi. And I saw all the speakers over there. That was the first conference I ever attended. Fun fact. To attend that conference, me, my mom, and my dad, we three went to Delhi. We three actually stayed in the same hotel so that I'm comfortable. They used to come and drop me till Booth International Circuit so that I don't feel scared. And then they used to go back. So in that conference, I found Samir. I was like 16 and a half, 17 back then. I just, you know, nagged him enough to make him talk to me. Because of Neeraj also, he was like, oh yeah, I relate. Then he talked. And I have this habit of persistently following up till the time the person says no.
Or yes.
So, no, if you say yes, then I need more help from you. So I used to be very persistently following up with somebody that, hey, this is the update. This is what I'm doing. Hey, I'm raising money from 500 startups. Will you be a part of this round? And later on, Samir just got so interested that he not only figured out a way to invest in my company, but also became my mentor, who helped me understand how to run a company, how to be a better founder, how to be a better person who goes forward with his leadership skill. He helped me. He's also helping me develop EQ, which I don't have. I only have IQ. So
that's what you say. I haven't seen any symptom of that till now.
Yeah. So, yeah, these are the things that has happened.
I was speaking to Samir recently, and he said that Harsh is one of those rare breed who has taken something that is inherently a weakness and has actually managed to build a business out of it. Right. I want to talk about that part. You could have very easily made this a not-for-profit sort of an organization, but that's not where you're heading, are you?
I am trying to create it a not-for-profit now. Mm. I didn't want to create it a not-for-profit in the start, and the reason for that was the problem in this world is whenever you try to do good to people, people think, why do you want to make money out of doing good?
Right.
At the same time, I felt like, theek hai, karke dekhte, ho raha hai ki nahi ho raha. The problem with doing good is people don't understand why you're doing good.
Mm.
When I launched the app, I thought parents will download it to understand whether their child has a developmental disorder or not. But the problem was, parents didn't even want to see whether their child has a developmental disorder or not.
And it is also because you're not just thinking as, how can I contribute to the greater good? That is an inherent part of your business. But you're also thinking business. You're also thinking like building an organization and growing this, right?
Yeah.
So, Harsh, if there's one thing, you want to point out as the biggest advantage for a parent today to log into My Child app and take away from that, what would that be? What would it help them to do, which they otherwise might find almost impossible?
So it took my parents about 9 years to figure out that I have this problem. My Child app can help any other parents figure out, as I mentioned, whether their child have a physical, neurological or speech delay in less than 10 seconds. They just need to log in the app, answer some questions, and based on the results, they will get to know whether their child has a problem or not. And the app also gives them suggestions of the specialist that they need to reach out, which they can book an appointment through Practo. We are integrated with Practo. But the biggest takeaway is that 9 years are brought down to 10 seconds. And so early diagnosis will lead to early intervention, which will lead to a better life for the child in the end of the day.
And you brought it down to 10 seconds based on the years of research you've invested in it, breaking it down into a much, much easier algorithm for them to follow.
Yes, correct.
Talking of which, I think the core purpose, or rather 1.0 of My Child app, was for parents to answer simple questions and understand whether their children have an issue, and if yes, what should they be doing immediately. Mm. But you also sort of added other layers to this, right? One of them is to telling pregnant mothers what are the things that they can do to sort of avoid a situation. Can you talk to me more about that?
What we also wanted parents to do is to understand how they could have a better child with no developmental delays, or they could reduce the chances of that happening.
Mm.
We started building some modules that will help mothers in the form of content that will actually help them realize that, hey, I'm in the X month of pregnancy. Instead of doing this, I should do this because that will help my child better. And these are not just the remedies that you take while you're pregnant, but these are also the things that will, help the child develop better while they are in the womb. So these are the things that we started doing.
Sometime back in the discussion, we were talking about Bollywood, and I was telling everyone, I was telling the audience how you have a different kind of a relationship with that. And that's, I have to tell the audience that that's largely because I saw one of your talks recently. By the way, you are an extraordinary speaker on stage, right? And you recently won that event in which you and I were part of, and you beat out some of the biggest entrepreneurs of this time. You have a very powerful presence on stage.
Yes.
But more importantly, that talk that you did was more about how Bollywood, knowingly or unknowingly, not just Bollywood, cinema in India, knowingly or unknowingly, creates a stereotype, which is probably the most harmful thing we could be doing to ourselves.
Mm.
Right? Can you elaborate a little bit on this, about how you feel about it?
Yes. So, not just cinema, sometimes advertising as well.
Yes.
They end up creating scripts or they end up writing content that reinforces the negative stereotypes that India already has for people with disabilities and mental illness. When my parents were going to a psychologist, the first thing that the family members or the relative asked them was, "Ye pagalo ke doctor ke paas ke liye ja rahe ho." Now, why is a psychologist pagalo ka doctor? It is because we have seen in movies and soap operas that there is a doctor who is called a psychologist who lives in Agra because Agra is a pagal khana. And wo Agra ke pagal khane mein wo लोगों को ट्रीट करता है क्यों क्योंकि वो एक जेल जैसी जगह में व्हाइट कपड़े पहन के लोग रहते हैं विच इज फ्यू ऑफ द केसेस नॉट ऑल द केसेस एंड बाय द वे दैट्स अ साइकियाट्रिस्ट नॉट अ साइकोलॉजिस्ट बट इंडियंस डोंट अंडरस्टैंड दैट कॉन्टेक्स्ट बिकॉज दे हैव सीन दिस काइंड ऑफ कॉन्टेंट अलॉट एवरी थर्ड मूवी और फोर्थ मूवी हैज अ पर्सन गोइंग टू द आगरा पागलखाना एवरी थर्ड सोप ओपेरा हैज बहू को माता आ गई है सॉरी फॉर दैट वर्ड बट दिस इज देयर एंड व्हेन अ लॉट ऑफ योर कंज्यूमर्स आर वॉचिंग दिस दे आर एक्चुअली बिल्डिंग अ माइंडसेट दैट इज क्रिएटिंग द स्टिग्मा व्हेन अ लॉट ऑफ सी देयर इज अ रिसर्च दैट सेज दैट व्हेन चिल्ड्रन ग्रो अप वॉचिंग समथिंग लाइक Discovery Channel versus something like Cartoon Network, the IQ or the curiosity of the person who has watched Discovery Channel is way more as compared to the people who have grown up watching Cartoon Network. If we take the same research and put it on the people who are watching these daily soap operas and movies, the stigma of the people who have not watched these daily soap operas and movies is actually lesser than the people who have watched it more. Tier 2 and tier 3 people who have television, who have internet and telephone are stigmatized about it. But maybe people in village are just like, isse ye problem ho rahi hai, isse theek kaise karna hai? Because they don't have access to all this. So this kind of content actually reinforces this a lot. Reinforcing ki psychiatrist is pagalo ka doctor. Reinforcing is ki he's on a wheelchair because pichle janam mein kuch kiya tha. Reinforcing ki usne apne pati ke saath kuch kiya isliye usse paralysis ka attack aa gaya. These are not the things that the society should be knowing because they are already having a lot of cases that are suffering from it. If you had zero people having depression and anxiety in India, then create as much content as you want mocking all this, okay? India is the most depressed country in the world. India is the most anxious country in the world. We have the highest rates of suicide between the age of 16 to 25. And still it's very easy for TV shows to show that it's theek hai, wo bachcha college mein tha, usne suicide kar li. क्यों की सुसाइड क्योंकि टीचर से लड़ाई हो गई या उसका ब्रेकअप हो गया दैट्स नॉट व्हाई पीपल कमिट सुसाइड बिकॉज देयर इज अ बिल्ट अप सिंस टाइम 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 एंड दैट्स व्हाई इट हैपेंस राइट सो द काइंड ऑफ कंटेंट दैट द कंज्यूमर इज वॉचिंग इज अगेन एंड अगेन मेकिंग देम थिंक दैट ओ ये सही है ये गलत नहीं है एंड बिकॉज ऑफ विच दे आर इट इज बिल्डिंग मोर स्टिग्मा And most of that happens because of Bollywood and daily soap opera and sometimes advertising as well.
Harsh, I started the episode by saying you're one of the most inspirational people I know. And that's not just because, you know, you had a condition and then you started this company. But it is also because the clarity of thought by which you're trying to solve this problem, right? One is, of course, your understanding of what you just spoke about, which is popular culture. The other thing is also something you're doing at this point, which is creating an organizational policy when it comes to mental health. Right? Yeah. What was the genesis of it and what would you like to tell the audience about what you're doing?
So in India, around 45% of corporate employees are depressed, 60% have anxiety and 80% have some or the other stress issues. Okay. And because these are the same people who are the part of the 100 million people who are going through depression or other issues in India. See, most of the mental illnesses in Indian people is for people between the age of 25 to 35. Now, our organizations or our leaderships are trained enough to get them to better position and work, but not trained enough to get them to understand what's wrong with their mental health. The reason for it is also because the generation from which the leadership is versus the generation from which the new culture is completely different. The leadership is from a generation where to watch the TV for 1 hour, they used to take care of or ask permission from dad. Or to get a date, they used to go to a bar and say, "Hi, would you like to go on a date with me?" But this generation that is going in offices is a generation that is, swipe right, I'm a stud. That is, oh, you don't want me to watch TV? I will watch YouTube and Netflix. And people like me because I have 1,000 likes. So this is a completely different generation that we are dealing with. And the old leadership skills and the old business principles are not competent enough to understand what's going on with the current generation, especially what's going on in their minds. So I build a policy that helps people understand how to create a safe space in the organization, how to create an environment which does not trigger situations that leads to anxiety, depression, or panic attacks, or suicidal thoughts. How to create a culture where people are understanding enough to not judge people when they are speaking up about their mental illness. And related to the third point, how to create a culture where people are okay to open up about, hey, I have a problem. So these are the four points that the policy covers. And by the way, I have open sourced that policy. I gave it away at the conference that we talked about. So any organization that can go to the 7-page document and get it vetted by a lawyer and actually implement it as a policy anyway.
So two things. One is you mentioned it is open source.
Yeah.
Is it a link that you can share on the show? We'll also make sure it is on the show notes.
Yeah. So it is bit.ly/takecareofus. So okay. That's the link. They can go to the link and download the policy.
Wonderful. And if among the audience listening to this show, if there are people in organizations who want to reach out to you to understand this better, to imbibe this in their larger policy, where can they reach you?
They can reach me on Instagram. That's the best. I am very active there. So it's @HarshSongra. I mean, I hate instant gratification, but I like getting likes on my photos. So second, you can reach me on email. So it's harsh@mychildapp.in. You can reach me on email.
Wonderful. Harsh, I know you're extremely busy. It's not just My Child App and the mental health policy. You're also now the tech lead for a large organization.
Yeah.
But we end the show by asking our guests what they are watching, reading, listening to. Do you have any time at all left?
I do at times. So I do try binge watching some content on the weekend if possible.
What are you watching right now?
Narcos Mexico. It's not Mexico. It's Mexico season 2. I'm watching that.
And besides the Filter Coffee podcast, what exciting podcast are you listening to?
I listen to the podcast by Nawal a lot. It's just called Nawal. And that guy do have really good advices to give. Especially when you're young, it actually helps you understand how to invest better, how to have a life where you can, you know, like, what are the four kinds of luck and all that. So
wonderful. Harsh, thank you so much for being on the show. I think it's one of the most beautiful episodes I've ever recorded. And I've said multiple times in the episode, a very inspirational one. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
So that was our show. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app or ivmpodcasts.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I am the_Karthik. That's Karthik with an H on Twitter. And filter_coffee. That's coffee with a K on Instagram.